Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2017. Lecture 1, delivered on August 22nd, 2017. The title of this lecture is Introduction to Finance.
Today, Introduction to Finance. Finance is a subdiscipline of economics. It is not, as some textbooks even say, a subdiscipline of accounting. We are not accountants. We use accounting information products, but we have to go beyond accounting because we have to analyze the hustle and flow, the day-to-day, the year-to-year, in some cases, more the decade-to-decade, of the living companies that are the source of profit for investors, the source of products for consumers, both business and residential, and the resource by which the civilization can build itself from one generation to the next in terms of the technologies that we have. Understand that economics is the focus in this course. I use accounting data. However, accounting data is insufficient for the purposes of finance. And I'll talk about that in a minute. First things first. What can you do with a finance degree? Most people, and it seems like most people, when they think of finance, they think of investments. That is one area. Investments. In other words, buying and selling securities, stocks, bonds, options, swaps, whatever you want to talk about. Truth of the matter is that this was always a rough field to be in. I ran a penny brokerage house back in the day, and I was interacting with larger brokerage houses all the time. It is a grinding environment. If you want to start, you're probably going to end up in a boiler room with a bunch of other hapless souls trying to sell stocks to people that probably were inappropriate investors for those kinds of stocks. It's improved somewhat over time, but it's still the same grueling place that it always was. Did any of you see the movie Pursuit of Happiness, the Will Smith movie? That is actually the high end of it. They were in a nice office. I saw boiler rooms that were nothing but rows and rows of tables with a phone and a tickle file, and these guys were trying to compete with each other to do well enough that they could be hired by the brokerage firm on a permanent basis. Rough world. Worse now because much of what we used to do is now done by computers. And artificial intelligence systems are taking over the field rapidly. The concept of the floor of the exchange, that place where everyone's yelling and screaming at each other, papers are flying, yeah, that's still there to some extent, but it is slowly, well, not even slowly, it is being replaced rapidly by electronic delivery of orders taken and satisfied. One of the artificial intelligence systems that is dominating right now is called Sentient, but there will be more along the line coming down. I took my students, my finance students, up to Chicago. This has been maybe 4 years ago, to a boutique brokerage house. A boutique is a place that has a narrow list of customers, very high income, wealthy people. This boutique house was pretty famous. I mean, it was very lavish inside, gorgeous place. And the students were really excited about the prospect of going and seeing the trading pit. And when we got to there, there was just one guy. He was really big, and he just... And they were kind of disappointed. What, is this a day off? He says, no, I'm the only one here. Well, how do you make your decisions for stocks, buying and selling? I don't make them. There's a computer that does that. I just talk to people on the phone, keep them happy. That was what was going on there. They wanted to go to the Chicago Board of Exchange. They wanted to go there and see the action in this massive pit with all of these stations around. We got through the doors. We went through the security and got down this long hall, walked in. It was dead silent, except for a few guys sitting in the bleacher part, traders. They were watching Facebook or playing World of Warcraft online. One guy was watching some pretty nasty stuff. But they were so disappointed. Well, what's going on here? Well, it's all computerized now. Who comes to the floor? It's all done by machines now. That was even before the AI was taking its grip. So there you are. This whole idea that you're going to get a job in investments or you're going to be a day trader. There's one of the big things. I'll do day trading because that sounds like I can sit at home and eat Cheetos and day trade. Well, here's the thing. You're going to say, I heard about this guy who made millions of dollars day trading from my home computer. The problem with that is that you're going to hear about the guy who made the fortune. He's going to be on TV. I have this system that made me $10 million, and I'll sell it to you for $99.99. Well, you see, the problem is you're going to hear from those guys who were successful. But for every guy that's successful, you're going to have hundreds of thousands who will have been destroyed doing that. They'll finally decide they can't do it anymore because they're broke. They're not going to be on TV. I got my butt kicked in the stock market, and I'll show you how to as well. They're not going to tell their story. So you're going to hear a bias for the successful ones who traded inappropriately. They took insane risks, and they just got lucky. You'll hear about the guy who won the lottery. You won't hear from the millions who just waste money every week on it. That's a problem with believing that you can go in. Here's the reality of it. In the world of stocks and bonds, you think you're better than the market, you think you're better than those traders. Well, there are hundreds of thousands of highly skilled traders, 24/7 clockers around the world buying and selling. They're using the best, fastest programs on earth. They have screens all around them, multiple phones at any given time to get the latest information. You think you're going to beat them? Go for it. It probably you won't. It's even worse than that now. There is one of the tricks that's being done these days. It's called high-frequency trading. Essentially, what this does, what's going on here, is that there are computers that are fast enough, close enough to the core exchanges, that they can beat you to a trade, no matter how hard you try. Because they watch the consensus forming, and they can jump in front of it. If you think that, and a bunch of people think that a stock price is going to go from $2 to $5, you'll start sending signals about your sentiments. These computers read those signals, and they'll get in front of you, and before you can buy that stock at $2, those computers will have already bought it and pegged it to $5. And you will have been robbed of the money that you thought you were going to make. They will beat you. And you know why they'll beat you? Because they can do the future. About 200 milliseconds right now, they can see into the future. Now, that's science fiction. It's real. And it'll get worse. It'll get faster, better. There are a couple of technologies that will make them so that they can reach farther in and see what's going to happen with very high certainty. Not perfect, but very high certainty. And they will beat you. Yeah.
As the technology gets faster and higher, won't it also become more accessible? And will that eventually lower the playing field?
I want to talk about that. I'm not sure if I can talk about it too much here because I've got to build up some. But there are alternatives in the world of investing. The problem is that once everything is happening so fast and information diffuses so quickly that even when there is something that is an edge, they'll find out about it very quickly. There's something called dark pools, which have closed limit order books. And those things I remember those happening, and they were being used by more like people who were sophisticated with computers than they were sophisticated with investments. But sure enough, now it's been hijacked by the big dogs who are actually using dark pools. They're using the normal limit order books that are transparent. Everyone can see the limit orders, and I'll go into that later in the course. But these, they're now operating on the side, these closed limit order books in the dark pools. And so, you know, something that we had an edge on, now we don't. Bitcoin, the hashers, we used to be able to make maybe 5-7 bitcoins a week just running fast, high-powered, high-speed gaming computers. But dang, now they've got these, everyone's doing it, and you've got these huge brokerage houses. You've got these countries, nations, their central banks are now hashing. And it's like anything that we find that might be an edge, suddenly it's gone before we even have a chance to exploit it enough to make ourselves rich. It's a tough world. It kind of clears out the deadwood very quickly. So you can't just say, I figured something out, and I'll live the rest of my life doing this. You figured out something, and you can have a meal for the night before someone bigger than you figures it out. That's an excellent question, though, because we're always looking for that new trick, that new edge. I've been working on a new hashing system that uses Bayesian analysis instead of just randomly hoping to find the tag. I don't know. It's... Oops. Well, I'll kill it then. Thank you. Didn't work. Oh, well, I'll try it with a night class. Investments. A more prospective world is the world of corporate finance. Now, in corporate finance, you work for a company, or you might be a consultant to a company. And the structure of a company is sort of like this. You have your CEO, and then you have your COO, and then over here, you have your CFO, your chief financial officer. And down below him, there are two branches. There's the accounting branch, and then there's the finance branch. Now, in the accounting branch, there is the tax and just the basic, you know, financial statements. Making your income statement, balance sheet, statement of cash flows, and all that. Now, on the finance side, there are several branches. These are the ones like cash management. How do you handle the cash that comes in and goes out? In other words, I'm going to have $5 million. Great. Oh, no. Let me give you an example. I take a lot of time with CEOs and CFOs, treasury people. In the treasury. Now, this is kind of a crude outline. It's more complicated than this actual tree. But they had $2 million come in. And the person who was in charge of handling the bills was about to write checks to all of the people they owed money to from this $2 million. Well, the finance guy, this cash management guy, was going to pay the bills. The finance treasurer had a cow. He said, are you out of your mind? No. We don't owe that money. Well, okay, we owe $500,000 next week. In two more weeks, we'll owe $1.2 million. You don't pay that money right out. You find ways to use that money, and then you pay your bills when they're due. That's cash management. There are investments that are short-term that you can put money into, things like sweeps or stuff like that, commercial paper, that you can make a little money on before you have to get rid of that money. Is it hot in here? If I had an apple in my mouth, I think I was at a luau. It's like, okay, investments and project analysis. Now here, and by this, I mean investment financing. Four. Look, we're the ones who get to say yes or no to projects. You, do I have a marketing major? Okay. You're a marketing major. You have the greatest idea in the world. It's unbelievable. You can't believe how great this idea is. You and your team spent months. You come to me with that, and you find out that my nickname is Grumpy Cat, because I say no. Well, why? Because it does not bring in more money than it's going to cost us. But it's going to bring in $1,000 for the next 10 years, and it costs us only $8,000. So that's $10,000 versus $8,000? No, it's not, because we in finance bring all those cash flows back, and what is their present value? And that present value is below the $8,000 that it's going to cost. We say no to the projects. It's not that we enjoy saying no. Okay, yes, we do. You're marketing majors. Okay, but we do have to do the yes and no. And it's simple, and you'll learn how to do it. Up, down. Yes, no. That's project. Financing. Okay, we said yes to a project. How do we pay for it? There are three kind of large sources. One is we do the old-fashioned thing. We earn revenue, and from the profits, we pay for our projects. The other thing is we could sell stocks, or another way, we could sell bonds, which are debt. We could borrow. That's the basic layout. Okay, that's corporate. You can get in there. They'll probably put you down in a couple of teams or something like that, and then you rise from there through the ranks. I've had many of my former finance students take this route, and they've worked their way up. I've got a couple who are up here now, and they pay well, pretty well. They pay pretty well just to start. Another one, institutional finance. Many of my students get their first jobs in institutional. Some stay there. Institutional finance is working in banks, credit unions, investment banks, things like that, commercial banks. Institutional finance is always looking for people. I mean, you'll end up starting like as a teller in a lot of those, or a loan officer. With a degree, you might be able to step around a few of those rungs. But it's still a place where you start low, but it's a stable environment, and you rise through the ranks there. Truth be told, institutional banks and places like that, they are either really good people or they are some of the worst scoundrels you would ever want to meet. I'll tell you about some of the scoundrels in there, but in banking, some of the just mind-blowing scandals of the last 20 years in banking. But I want you to always remember that those are the outstanding bad apples. A lot of people in institutional finance, they really are in there for the right reasons, to help businesses and consumers fulfill needs that they have, both for where their money goes and where they can get money for things. Another place that I should bring up is real estate. In this class, we don't do a lot. I don't mention real estate much, but it's one of my field specializations. There are all kinds of different ways to make a living in real estate finance, and it's actually kind of interesting work. I wish I could talk more about it in this class, but I can't. I used to teach real estate at another university, but not here. Another place where we actually now have an institute, financial planning. It is a big growing field right now. Financial planning. The problem is a lot of people in finance have the idea that financial planning, you're going to be working on investment strategies and portfolios and doing all that kind of stuff. The biggest place to make money in financial planning is in selling the products to people. And you won't sell them to everyone. You'll be looking for upper middle income and rich people. Your world in financial planning will most likely completely ignore the vast pool of middle class, lower middle class, working poor, and the just plain poor. You won't be dealing with them. You'll be dealing with wealthier people and selling to them. On the back, if you're in the back room, you will be doing the analysis. But that's a pretty narrow field, and you have to know people on the inside, or you have to be really good at what you do to do that, because that's where, again, AI is going to be taking over very quickly over the next 10 years. One last place that I should bring up is insurance. We have one of the top insurance programs in the nation, actually in the world. In Europe, they'll recognize the name of the Katie School of Insurance and risk management. Insurance, there is this side that you probably know about where you sell auto insurance to mom and pop, but the other side is kind of intense. That's the side where you get into commercial. I think I'm going to cut it off right there, and we'll pick this up the next time. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.